some Kansas Riverfront development. But first of all, folks, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, and I understand that you had a... I actually stopped by real quick just to really verify that you'd be showing up here. I was out getting dinner last night. I figured I'd stop by at your presentation there at the Manhattan Train Depot. And first of all, just how did it go?
Well, I thought it went very well. We filled every chair and every table in the place. And we had a very strong turnout, a very enthusiastic turnout. And Gina managed to show a lot of her work and generate a lot of enthusiasm. And then after that, they all sat around and talked about some of the things that they envisioned might occur in a riverfront development project.
Yeah, we had, I would guess, over 100 people in at the depot. And as you said, every table filled and people sort of brimming with ideas and understanding some of the challenges when you think about riverfront development in a community like Manhattan, but also really seeing what an incredible opportunity it is to think about progress and the future of the community and how to continue to ensure a high quality of life for residents here.
That riverfront is important because that was the 19th century highways. That's how people moved around the country, was on the major rivers. So when the steamship Hartford arrived, it left Cincinnati on the Ohio River, went down the Ohio to the Mississippi to the Missouri across the state of Missouri, into the Kansas River, and then finally made it to Manhattan, which was the end of the line because the water was low, and that's as far as they could go.
And there's still a lot of commerce done via boat and shipping. It's pretty cost effective, too, if you just estimate the weight per gas usage per mile, I believe. Mm-hmm. There's like some formula in there that I'm not familiar with. It's been a while since I did environmental science.
Very true in the major rivers, Missouri, yes, and Mississippi and Ohio, all of those.
But in talking about riverfront development, we kind of have to get a little bit of background. What sort of got you involved in the whole riverfront development project in Manhattan especially?
Well, the Art Deco Bridge Pier, when we ended up putting up that sign that said Manhattan welcomes you, it was quite a process. And once we had that in place, and that, by the way, was Blaine Thomas's design, and we discovered that around 2011, still trying to, and that was the impetus. Suddenly, a couple of people who saw that said, you know, this is what ought to go on that bridge pier. And so we raised the money, we got permission from the city, from the county, from KDOT, we put it up. And in that process, we're spending time down at the river. And some of us kept looking at the river and noticing the Manhattan skyline. And if you get up on a linear trail, you begin to see the whole of downtown and the river. And then when you go onto the observatory platform at the Discovery Center, you really get a vision of downtown. And it suddenly begins to occur to you, why don't we develop that wonderful, beautiful area? And that's where Gina came in.
So I got involved because I'm a landscape architect and I'm a native Bostonian from Boston, Massachusetts, but most of my career, 20 plus years, has been spent on Midwest rivers. It's what I fell into. It's what I love doing. And so I was here at Kansas State University speaking to the landscape architecture program in February about Midwest rivers quite a bit. And Phil was in the audience and said, oh my, do I have a river to show you? Because, of course, I came to town. I saw the Kansas driving over it to come into town, but then didn't spend any time on it. And so I think Phil saw in some of the project work I had done a way of showing the community here what's possible on rivers, even in small communities, even on rivers that flood, even on rivers that might feel challenging in terms of infrastructural barriers like railroads. It's possible to connect to them and to make them part of the daily life of the city and the community. So here I am.
And what do you think of our river?
Your river is magnificent. I mean, the stories of it changing course over its time, the relationship to the Wildcat Creek and the Blue River. You know, we work in communities as riverfront specialists all across the country, and many communities have already redeveloped their rivers and see the economic and environmental benefit of that. Some wish they had a river like the Kansas running through them that they could develop and take advantage of. And so it's wonderful that you're at this moment, and it's wonderful that people like Phil and some of the folks we talked to yesterday are ready to really start advocating for change on the river.
And you mentioned earlier that there's some work that you've done at other rivers in development, especially. What are some of your past work that you've done?
So my my career has been, like I said, mostly through the Midwest, working on riverfront development in Cincinnati, Ohio for a long time. I did a lot of the flood recovery and disaster recovery work in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. A project I showed to the community last night, because it's so similar in scale, the Council Bluffs, Iowa riverfront across from Omaha. And then a much bigger project I've worked the past decade in, on the Chicago Riverwalk in Chicago, Illinois. And so, as I said, like a lot of a community strung out along I-80 through the Midwest for some strange reason, but also varying in size from major metropolitan areas to much smaller communities, but all with this notion of connecting to the river and getting people out on the river.
I'll tell you what's ingenious about her work, what I really like, is the design is not just to make the area attractive, but the design's purpose is to draw people to the area to interact in one way or another, depending on what's going on, whether it's recreational or if it's a concert or something like that. So a lot of the images that Gina showed, there were people all over the place. And that is the important thing for the community. If you're going to invest in something like this, the advantage for the community is that we become more of a community.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
And drawing from some of your past experiences, what sort of opportunities do you see here in Manhattan for riverfront development?
So I think it would be great to talk more with the community about what they envision happening. A bit of what we heard last night, I think the biggest opportunity is just access. So we heard both through some Kansas State University work that Phil was part of years ago when students looked at the river, as well as last night in our community forum and some of our meetings yesterday, that just getting people to the river is challenging today. Again, you get glimpses of it, but you can't quite get there easily. You have to find a really kind of difficult route. There are some infrastructural barriers like the railroad, the levee, some major roadways. And so primary is just get people there. I think that in the Council Bluffs example I showed yesterday was really about creating a community gathering space on the riverfront. So is there one key place where we can think in the future about some gathering, as you said, to pull people together, Phil? And then I think, you know, a third theme that we hear quite a bit of, especially among the younger generations, is how to enhance the ecological resource that is the river, build more habitat, build more opportunity for environmental education and awareness, and interaction with the natural system. So, you know, bird watching and habitat restoration. I think younger generations are really sustainability is front of mind.
Yeah, the river is not just ours. The river is to be shared with the wildlife. That's part of the experience, and you want to be very sensitive. And that's the thing I noticed about Stephanie Raleigh's students when they were doing that work a couple of years ago is almost every one of them, I think every one of them, one of the concerns, whatever we do, ecologically it has to be sound, mm-hmm. because you want to protect, that's a resource that we need to protect. And it's something that nationwide I think people are becoming more aware of. But the key thing is, how do you get to the river? Because we've got this levee, we've got the railroad, and Gina Scroggs, it was yesterday, that said she gets a lot of calls about people coming into the city with a kayak or canoe saying, well, how do I get to the river? Yeah. And she's saying, well, it's not easy.
And of course, that's kind of the hope there, as you mentioned earlier, by developing it, maybe you'd be able to get people to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are there any other challenges that you've run into maybe in the process of, you know, thinking about how this development might be able to take place? What challenges are we seeing or roadblocks in the way of getting to that?
Yeah, it's interesting. I would say taking a challenge and making it into an opportunity, that right now there's no necessarily sort of plan in place to look at the river. And so a lot of the work that Phil's doing and what we did yesterday was advocacy to get the community together around what is the right path forward. And so I would say the challenge is really just that there's no official planning process on the table, but there's a desire to get one on the table. So I think that's sort of more on the people side. I think developing rivers always comes with a whole host of challenges. One is that you have so many different partners and agencies that have jurisdiction, whether it's the Army Corps of Engineers or KDOT, the city itself, and so the train. So you have all of these stakeholders that really rely on this for livelihood, for their workings, and so getting all of them on the same page. And And then I would be remiss to not mention the flood dynamics. We saw some high water this week, and so that's always a, you know, it's always a thing front of mind because it's health, safety, welfare.
That can be a strategy for our planning.
That's right.
Is and that may free up federal and state money because it's just simply trying to address the flooding problem that we've been having for the last month.
Means there's necessary investment in that very critical function for the infrastructure, but that can be parlayed into more placemaking and community engagement and activation of the river as well. So it's, again, they're all challenges, but they're all also opportunities.
Yeah, bring up the flood aspect, especially. It's kind of almost like you have to bring it up, especially given the climate of the last month or so. There's been a lot of concern I've heard from community members about development and how it might contribute to flood levels. Is there any concern that riverfront development might, you know, increase that likelihood?
Usually what we try to do when we think about rivers is first of all, to understand that riverfront park development in particular is a really flood-resilient way of using waterfronts, that parks can flood, you can design them to flood, and they can be perfectly fine after flood. The other thing is to leverage all of our improvements towards more flood risk reduction, so making sure that if we are working on the levee, we're making the levee stronger and better, that we're doing things to improve water quality and stormwater management around the site. So I think there's ways to, again, flip that into an opportunity and think about how any development can actually help to mitigate flood risk.
I think we're just about under a minute of time left. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Just want to say thanks to Phil for all the work to get this group together, and also thanks to the community members who came out last night. We had such a great showing, and people were really passionate, and it's very exciting.
I tell you, Gina was interacting with some of our landscape architect students when she first got here on Wednesday evening at JP's on campus, and they were so thrilled to be with her. But that was exceeded by how thrilled she was to be with them.
Love,
and they just
love
had
me some K-State students.
An absolutely marvelous time. So this is a very strong program that Stephanie Raleigh runs. And Stephanie's and Gina's friendship has led to this. Yeah. And so it's a real, we're fortunate. This is a wonderful opportunity for Manhattan, Kansas. And I can't thank Gina Ford enough.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you again, Gina, Phil, for coming in studio. And coming up next, Dr. Trevor Gaskill from Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Center will talk to us. So stay tuned for more in focus here on News Radio KMAN.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by the McCain Performance Series at Kansas State University. Kids 18 and under get tickets for half price. Visit the McCain Performance Series.